I invite your attention to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1, and to chapter 5 and chapter 4 verse 1 to chapter 5 verse 1. Let me just explain. It will be rather different this morning. For those of you here last week, you will know that I was trying to include chapter 4 from verse 1 to verse 7 of Galatians. But I didn't get that far, so this morning I want to look at this very briefly. Not because it's not worthy of greater study, but I haven't time. So I'm looking at verses 1 to 7 very briefly. Then I want to look at verses 8 to 20 also very briefly. What I want to spend more time on this morning is Galatians chapter 4 from verse 21 to chapter 5 verse 1. So there'll be, if you like, three discourses, but the first two will be very short. I just want to skim over what's being said here. Not because it's unimportant skimming it, but I've only got two more weeks left after this to try and complete this very important letter. So Galatians chapter 4, from verses 1 to 7. Let me just read the verses to you. They speak for themselves, really. He's carrying on, the apostle is carrying on from where he's left off. There's no chapter division here, it's very poor. In fact, he's using a second illustration. The first illustration was the pedagogue, the slave driver, the child custodian. Now he picks that illustration up again in chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. He's dealing with this child, underage, who is in fact going to come into all the estate. But at the moment, he's a child. And the man, the father, who is a wealthy man, employs a slave to keep this boy in order until he becomes a man, and then he should be mature to make his own decisions. Chapter 4, verse 1, then. What I am saying is, I'm reading another version, but you've got it in the King James. What I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. Servant, slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he's lord of all. He is subject to guardians and trustees, tutors and governors. Tutors is not quite, tutors got the idea of teacher, but that's not the idea here, it's custodian. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, now he's coming to the application, so also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world, the elements of the world, the basic ideas of the world. We were in bondage to that. But when the time had fully come, the fullness of the time, when God's time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, made of a woman, born under the law, yes, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now, he said this before in chapter 3. God gave the law to Israel until the coming of Christ. But when Christ came, he redeemed his people under the law. He died himself, suffering under the law. He lived under the law and died and was cursed under the law. And he's redeemed. Redeem is the idea of buying back from slavery. And verse 5, to redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. That's all through Christ, of course. Let me just briefly sum that up. It's the same as in the previous chapter, chapter 3. Paul is dealing with this issue of the law. And he's telling the Galatians, don't you understand that the law was given to Israel under Moses from Mount Sinai to last until the coming of the Christ. But Christ has come now. And he said in the previous chapter, so we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Now he's saying the same thing in this passage, but he's putting it in the positive way. It's not that we're no longer under the supervision of the law, but we are now sons of God. We have the positive on this side. He's talking, of course, to believers. You understand that? And believers are no longer under the supervision of the law. In fact, they are sons. Sons of God. They're grown up. This is what he's saying. And God has given us his Spirit, he says. The Spirit has come into our hearts. God himself, by his Spirit, dwells in every believer. And the believer instinctively cries out, Abba, Father. God is his Father. He knows it. He feels it. And he's more than a son. He is an heir. He's a joint heir with Christ. He inherits all that Christ has wrought for him. Now, what is that? Limitless. Boundless. I can't describe it because I don't know what it is. Eternity will show us what it is. It's not just the joys we have here as believers. It's the everlasting glory that will come to us. This is what he's teaching here. Now, you remember the context. You remember what he's saying. Why are you going back to the law? That belongs to the child age. That belongs to the slaves. But you're free. You are a son of God, a child of God. You've got all the inheritance. Why are you going back to this slavery state? These are his words, not mine. Theologians object to me saying that, but they're objecting to Paul saying it. It's not me saying it, I'm just repeating his words. Brothers and sisters, those of you who are in Christ, we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Now, what is that? I don't know, do you? All the glory, that praise, that belongs to him, we shall come into the good of it all. I can't describe it. I'm out of my depth. So why would you go back to the weak and beggarly elements, he calls them? Why would you go back to that? I heard a man reading this morning. I was listening to a tape. I heard a man reading from 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought as a child. But now I'm a man, I don't speak like a child anymore. What a passage for this. When I was a child, I was in bondage. That's before my conversion. That's what he's meaning. Before my conversion, I was a slave. I was enslaved to death, law, condemnation, the wrath of God. Now, having come to Christ, I am liberated, and I'm a son of God, and I have all the inheritance of God in Christ. Now, why would I give that up? Now, I'd like to spend longer on that. There's much, much more. But I said I'm going to skim it, and I have skimmed it. I've missed out some major things there, but you'll have to accept that I've not done that purposely. Well, I have done it purposely, but I've not done it willingly. But it's got to be.